Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Tucked away in the end of the book of the prophet Hosea, we have a proclamation of Christ. Christ says in the 13th chapter of Hosea, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. And I think that is a fitting introduction to our gospel lesson for today. Because two things are shown to us in our gospel. Number one is the power of death. And number two is the power of Jesus Christ over death. The point of our gospel lesson is to remind us that Christ is the very Son of God sent into the world to save and redeem us from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. And this he shows to us today in this notable sign or miracle. Now, when Jesus does a miracle, he doesn't do a miracle for his health. He doesn't do miracles because he's come into the world to alleviate all sickness and trouble. Jesus does miracles as signs to us, pointing to who he is and what he has come to do for all sinners. Jesus has come into the world to destroy death for those of us who, through our fallenness and our sinfulness, are subject to death. The story starts out this morning that Jesus and his disciples and a crowd of other people, they draw near to a city called Nain. Now, Nain means, in Hebrew, Nain means, well, we would call it Pleasantville. Pleasantville, right? A really nice place to live. The kind of place where you don't really think that an unwelcome guest like death is going to show up at an inopportune time and an inopportune place. But death comes to Pleasantville. The good news is Jesus comes to Pleasantville. All right? And so Jesus, many disciples, and much people, and they are coming to the village of Nain. And while they draw nigh to the city, a funeral procession is coming out of the gate of the city. The Bible tells us that there was a dead man carried out. Now we know a number of things about this dead man. First of all, when Jesus addresses him, he says, young man. So this dead man died in the prime of his life. He died young. He died when you least expect someone like that to die. And that's the way it is with death. You never know when it's going to come calling and who it's going to claim. That's why it is so important for us to live in faith, in repentance for our sins, and to ever be ready in the grace of God, knowing that we are the children of mercy and salvation. So he was a young man. He was being carried out of the city, and we know something else about him. He was the only son of his mother. That is, he was her only means of support and her only close relative. And the Bible tells us of her, she was a widow. So death had already come to that household and claimed her husband. He had died. And now her son is dead. And she is left alone. And so the funeral procession leads out of the city of Nain toward the cemetery. And the people of Nain accompany this poor woman, bereft of everything, as they go to lay the body of her son to rest. In a way, I don't like to sound maudlin or anything like that, but think about this. All of our life in this world is really one long trip to the cemetery. Every one of us has lost beloved people, and every one of us will one day go to the cemetery and be buried there. Unless Jesus comes back before our life on this earth is over, every one of us will end up at the cemetery. Now, as maudlin as that sounds, it's only a prelude to what happens next. Because what you see in the story here is, you see the funeral procession going out this way, and you see Jesus coming this way. And there is going to be a blessed clash. And I wonder if you can guess who's going to win. Alright? Let's look at this. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, "Weep not." Alright? Jesus had compassion on her in her situation, surrounded by death and its effects. So it is. Jesus has compassion on you in your mortality, in your weakness, in your proneness to not keep his victory in mind. Jesus has compassion for you. And he shows you in the raising of this young man his intentions for you and for all sinners. All right? He takes no pleasure in the death of the sinner. All right? But that the sinner repent and believe and receive the grace of God in Christ. And so it is. Our Lord shows us, not only by his words, but by his deed, compassion for us in our helpless situation. We need to remember, death comes to us in three forms. Remember in the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Well, he atest thereof, and he didn't die that day. Yes, he did. He died spiritually first. You see, that's the first thing that happens in the fall of man, is that Adam and Eve died spiritually. They became separated from God, fallen away from their original righteousness, their true fear, love, and trust in God. They fell away from God, and when they heard God's voice, they ran and hid themselves and were afraid of the God that they once loved. And so the first death that has to be overcome is spiritual death. We are all conceived and born in sin, We are all therefore spiritually dead from birth. And that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Unless you are born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. To be born again means to be baptized. It means to be brought to Jesus. It means that the Holy Ghost comes and dwells in your heart and leads you in a new way of believing, seeing, and knowing. Then the second death is physical death. Physical death is the second death. And then the final death is eternal death. We know this as the lake of fire, or as the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Everlasting death is damnation. Jesus has come to deliver us and save us from spiritual death, from temporal death, and from eternal death. And he does this in a wonderful way that is foreshadowed here. Let's look at the text again. He came and he touched the coffin, and those who carried it stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Now think about this. Death is universal. It shows its power all over the world, every day, in the most unexpected ways. And yet, look at Jesus here. Jesus conquers death as easily as a mother waking a child from a nap. Do you see that in the story? He conquers death for this young man as easily as a mother wakes her child from a nap in the afternoon. Young man, I say to you, arise. I was reading Martin Luther this week in preparation for this, and Luther talks about the last day when the Lord will come and say, Martin, Martin, wake up. Martin, wake up now. And there I will awake to the kingdom of glory and the wonderful gifts of everlasting life. And so it is here. Jesus conquers death as easily as a mother wakes her child from a nap. This is meant to comfort our hearts so that we may know that Jesus has conquered death on our behalf. Not only does he show this in a sign when he does this miracle, but he also, on our behalf, he entered into death itself. He hung upon the cross to pay for our sins, and he allowed himself to be crucified and killed, and he entered into the grave. But, as the Bible says, he, the Holy One of God, saw no corruption. When he entered into death, there was no decay. He was truly dead. And on the third day, he rose again victorious over death, not only for himself, but chiefly for those of us for whom he died. He died to pay for our sins and save us from them, and he rose victorious over death itself, and through faith in him, we are victorious over death. What does that mean for us? It means that you have received saving faith through baptism, the word, and the sacrament of the altar. You have received saving faith. You are born anew. You are among the children of God, forgiven, redeemed, and filled with hope. All right, that's number one. Number two, physical death for you is not the same thing as physical death for an unbeliever. When an unbeliever dies, he perishes. What does that mean? It means that his soul separates from his body and goes to hell, where it never gets out. But it is not so for you. Death for you is no longer a punishment. Death for you is simply the gateway into the presence of Jesus. Because when you die physically, your soul separates from your body and goes to be with Christ in paradise. And then on the last day, when Christ returns to judge the quick and the dead, your body will be resurrected and glorified and reunited with your soul to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of glory forever and ever. So for a Christian, our death is a sleep in Jesus. It is a rest in the grace of God. It is an assurance of God's mercy and salvation given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then, that wonderful last day, when all the dead are raised and they stand before Him, and we are among the sheep, and He says to us, enter in to the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And we will, with all the saints, go marching in to the kingdom of glory. Therefore, today, Jesus shows us in a notable sign his power over death, and his intention to save you from death and its power, and to show you that you are now free. Yes, there is going to come a day when your death will take place, but your death will take place in a blessed way because you are one of the Lord's anointed ones. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.